This is New England Public Radio. A documentary that tells a lesser-known story from the Holocaust is showing around the world this weekend. It's about a hidden archive created in secret by a group of Jewish men and women. For more than 2 years, starting in 1940, they collected artifacts to document their lives as German Nazis began to send millions of Jews and others to extermination camps. The film, Who Will Write Our History, is based on the book by Samuel Casso, who teaches at Trinity College in Hartford. He told New England Public Radio's Jill Kaufman the man behind the archiving effort, Emanuel Ringelblum, was an academic like himself.
As a historian, I was always amazed by the story of Emanuel Ringelblum, a historian who understood that you could fight with paper and pencil, not just with guns. That the Germans not only want to kill you, but they want to erase your memory. And so Ringelblum was determined that even if we Jews don't live to see the end of the war, even if we die, we'll bury time capsules so that people will remember us on the basis of Jewish rather than German documents.
Just 8 days after the ghetto was sealed, several of us met with Dr. Ringelblum in his apartment on 18 Lezhina Street.
Had the story been told before you got your hands on it as an historian?
Well, I kind of knew about it. I read John Hersey's novel, The Wall. I knew something about Ringelblum, but I didn't really put two and two together until the mid-90s. This was an incredible story. It was a collective project. There was a plan to study Jewish society from the ground up. Study Jewish women, Jewish children, corruption, religious life.
Ringelblum's greatness was to bring together extraordinarily talented people and to let each of them do their thing. As economists, as journalists, as artists, as statisticians.
The archive tried to collect everything. They collected journals, diaries, posters, candy wrappers, the menus from fancy restaurants in the ghetto where policemen and speculators spent the money.
Wait, fancy restaurants in the ghetto.
There were fancy restaurants in the ghetto, gourmet restaurants, where you could have anything you wanted as long as you had the money. And there was a small group of people in the ghetto who had tons of money, the smugglers, the policemen, the collaborators, and they knew tomorrow I might be dead, I might as well spend the money now. And the archive wanted the menus from those restaurants. They wanted doorbell instructions. If five families are living in one apartment, you know, the rings for each family is going to mean something. There were also photographs. There were drawings, sketches, maps.
And then some were commissioned to keep journals, but
right,
they told stories of what was happening,
sure,
who they were.
The archive tried to collect everything.
Friday, July 31st, 1942. The 10th day of the slaughter that has no parallel in our history. Last evening ended in a massacre and with a large raid on the brush workshop.
Where do you come into this? As a historian, how is it that you came across this?
Well, I'm a child of survivors. I was born in a DP camp in Germany.
DP is displaced persons.
Displaced persons camp.
I'm sorry, your parents, they were Polish.
They were from a part of Poland that is now in Belarus. But in Poland and in Belarus, we weren't Polish. We were Jewish. There were almost 4 million Polish Jews when the Germans came. And the survival rate was extraordinarily low. That culture was murdered. The language was murdered. And having grown up with that culture, in a way, I was fascinated by the story of this project of cultural resistance. I was also intrigued why nobody paid attention to the archive for so many decades.
I would love to live to see the moment in which the great treasure will be dug up and scream the truth at the world.
In 6 weeks, the largest Jewish community in Europe was shipped off in cattle cars to Treblinka.
When the first cache of the archive was buried, these people thought at least the last comfort was, even if we die, these writings will make a difference. But for decades, nobody cared. One cache was found in 1946, and they were buried in tin boxes, and a lot of water seeped in. So a lot was destroyed. A second cache was found accidentally by Polish construction workers in December 1950. That second cache was hidden in milk cans. So the documents were preserved better. Then there was a third cache that was buried about a week before the outbreak of the Battle of the Warsaw Ghetto. And the site where that was buried over time became the site of the Chinese embassy in Poland. And about 15 years ago, some Israeli searchers got permission from the Chinese to dig underneath their embassy and search for that missing third cache, but it was never found and probably never will be found.
If you are the one that sort of brought all this into one place that got the attention of a filmmaker, that's quite the responsibility for a culture that is decimated and part of your family life.
You know, there are basically two kinds of historians. That is, there are the historians who just think about their own careers, who see history as a way of, you know, chalking up credentials. And then there are the historians who understand that history is a collective enterprise, that you have to help other historians. You have to encourage other people to help gather documents. Had Ringelblum not believed that history was that kind of a field, he would never have started the archive. But he was thinking about future historians. So I feel that he was
like
kind
yourself.
Of thinking about me and that I was kind of redeeming a challenge that he laid down.
So is it an obligation that you fulfilled in some way?
I don't know if I fulfilled it. I tried to. More people know, but I can't believe how many people came up to me and said, I've never heard of this guy before. He totally sank into oblivion.
That's Trinity College historian Samuel Casso speaking with New England Public Radio's Jill Kaufman. The film, Who Will Write Our History, will be shown around the world this Sunday, the day the UN designates to remember the millions of Jews and others killed in the Holocaust. This is New England Public Radio.